earth. Even so, he knew he'd jarred the hell out of her body. Her breath was coming in ragged pants, and she bit off a moan of pain. "Sorry, princess," he whispered as he set her on the ground. "Lie flat." He lay over her, his body covering hers, his gun out and ready, although the others had disposed of the soldiers. More shots rang out. Two. A third. "Drone down. Helicopter in air, heading your way," Mordecai reported. It wasn't as easy to bring down a helicopter as the movies made it look. They'd done it more than once, but it wasn't easy. Mordecai, Malachi, and Joe would concentrate on three targets. The pilot, probably Mordecai, the best of the three. Malachi would go for the tail rotor, and Joe would go for the engine. He was counting on Mordecai. The moment Mordecai killed the pilot, they would load Zara back in the car and get the hell home. Gino felt her body heave under his. He frowned. "You crying?" There was a small silence, and he imagined she was making up her mind whether to admit it to him or not. His hand found her face, fingers tracing the tears there.
"Trying not to," she admitted.
A surge of adrenaline hit hard.
"Damon, you like the guy?"
"Most of the soldiers aren't very good to us," she answered slowly, slowly enough that he knew she was reading his mood.
"They know eventually Whitney will insist we go into their breeding program, and we'll have no choice.
They're vulgar, not dirty and kind of sexy, if you know what I mean, but just rude and vulgar. They treat us like we're so much less than they are. Damon was one of the few who wasn't like that. He treated us with respect."
Gino took a breath, let it out. He swept his hand down the back of her head. "I'm sorry, then, that they had to cap him, baby." She struggled with tears, managed to press back another sob, and nodded.
"Damon would have followed orders, Gino. He would have killed me, both of us. Me and himself. He wouldn't have allowed you to keep us alive."
"Why?"
"Why?"
she echoed.
"Yeah, why?
Belicia is with us, and he hasn't cared all that much. Cayenne and Pepper are with us, too. And the little viper chicklets."
"Little viper chicklets?"
she repeated. He rubbed his chin on top of her hair. "That's what some of us call Wyatt's triplets. Just to annoy Pepper. They pack venom in their bites, and when they're teething, the little munchkins like to bite."
"How extraordinary.
Why would Whitney be okay with us keeping the other women and the children, but not you? He promised the Major General that if we went to get you, he would leave you alone." She turned her head in order to look up at him. Her face, so swollen, was an abomination after seeing the photographs of her flawless, soft skin. He stroked his finger gently over the terrible bruise where Cheng's gun had struck her. He wanted to go back and kill the bastard.
"Whitney did that? He called a Major General about me?"
Gino nodded. "Our boss, Major General Tennessee Milton. Whitney called him, and Major General gave the order to Joe, but it was voluntary status only."
"Why?"
He didn't hesitate. "It was unsanctioned and considered a suicide mission." Her breath caught, and then she asked,
"But you volunteered. Why?"
"Everyone did."
"Why did you?"
Shit. He didn't want to tell her that. The truth would make him sound like a stalker. "Not sure I want to give you that, princess. You're still making up your mind about me."
"I already made up my mind about you," she whispered.
Her gaze slid away from his. His gut clenched hard. "Baby, you know I'm not leaving it there. Look at me." Her fingers dug into the dirt, pulling up a few rotting leaves.
"Tell me why you volunteered,"
he sighed. "You look at me, and I will. But I'm warning you, I look like some kind of stalker."
"That's good."
The amusement in her voice surprised him. It was shy, but it was there. "Read everything about you I could get my hands on. Got every image the Internet had available.
It's all on my personal laptop."
Fell hard. "Long fall, Zara. And surprising, but the real thing is far, far better than anything I could have thought I saw on the Internet.
I'm not like that.
There was hurt in her voice now, and she closed her eyes and turned her face away from him.
Like what?
He kept his hand in her hair, fingers working her scalp. He half expected her to be upset that he'd gotten every piece of information available about her onto his computer. But hurt wasn't the emotion he anticipated at all.
Like what you see on the Internet. I detest traveling. I know I'm not supposed to waste my brain and all that. I've been told enough times how selfish and worthless I am for not being grateful for my opportunities. But I can't help how I feel. I'm not like that super-confident woman you see on the Internet, Gino. I'm not her.
You don't have to talk in front of everyone in order to not waste your brain, Zara. Trapp is the most intelligent man I know. Wyatt runs a close second. They do all kinds of good. They don't talk about it or give speeches. Trapp would light himself on fire before going public like that.
She turned her head back toward him.
Really? He brushed a kiss along that long, wide bruise. Absolutely. So, baby, I've got to ask you again. Why is it that Whitney would rather have you dead than with us?
He always plants a virus in us before we leave the compound. That way he ensures we have to return.
She was telling him the truth, but definitely hedging. Yeah, we know that. So why send Damon as a safety net? He promised Major General. Going back on his promise to Major General isn't a smart move or a good political one. Whitney still has friends in the White House. If Major General, a very popular man, by the way, goes against him, he might lose those friends. So again, Zara, why does Whitney want you dead or back with him when he leaves the others alone? Gino poured icy cold into his voice, wanting her to know he meant business. She didn't answer him.
You know you're going to have to trust me sometime.
She still didn't answer him. Two boots planted themselves right beside their heads. Gino looked up to see Ezekiel staring down at them.
You two going to play in the dirt all night, or come on home?
Gino was going to choose home for them, but he wasn't going to drop the subject Zara wanted so desperately to avoid. And he wasn't going to forget that the soldier had trained a gun to one specific spot on her head.
Chapter 8
Zara looked eagerly out of the car window, desperate to see Belicia. When Belicia had failed to come back to the compound, she was terrified that her best friend was dead. Shyla and she had spent hours alternately crying and then trying to convince each other that Belicia was alive and had managed to escape. Eventually, Whitney's anger and his retaliation, separating Zara and Shyla, had Zara believing Belicia was still alive. She couldn't wait to see her. She had so much to tell her, and she needed her advice on what to do about the information she had stored and locked in her brain. Zara recognized their driver, Adam Cox. He had been a soldier for Whitney, and after Belicia disappeared, Adam and his partner, Gerald Perkins, had been sent out, presumably looking for her. They had never returned. Seeing him driving the car made Zara uneasy. If she hadn't been able to read Gino's energy so easily, to merge her own energy with his, she might have become suspicious. But there was no way for Gino to hide the fact that just the mention of Whitney brought that cold demon inside him close to the surface. Belicia stood outside the two-story house the vehicle drove up to. She looked beautiful, radiant, tears welling up. Zara clutched Gino's hand.
I can't believe she's really alive. Whitney wouldn't tell us for sure. I hoped she was. I hoped she really was the one to kill Violet. When we heard the senator had died from being bitten by a blue-ringed octopus when she was diving, I thought it had to be Belicia. But there was no way of knowing for certain.
The car came to a halt, and Zara threw the door open. She swung her legs out of the car before Gino could stop her.
Zara, what the hell do you think you're doing? You can't walk, remember?
He caught her around the waist to keep her from trying to leap out. She'd forgotten. For just that one moment, she was so happy to see her sister that she forgot Ju, the torture, everything but hugging Belicia. Belicia looked toward the car, and her face lit up. Zara had forgotten how beautiful she was, and how her smile could light up the sky. She was very small, with blue eyes and pale blonde hair. Already she was in motion, leaping off the porch and running toward the car. Zara braced herself, her answering smile hurting her sore face. Belicia ran around the hood of the car and launched herself into the air. Ezekiel Fortunes caught her, wrapping his arms around her, his mouth on hers. Zara's smile faded. Shocked, she couldn't take her eyes off the couple. Belicia hadn't even seen her. Her gaze had found Ezekiel, and she never looked anywhere else. "They're married," Gino said. "This mission, you have to understand, Princess. It wasn't certain we were coming back. Boss called it a suicide mission, and if you'd seen the jump onto the roof at night with those power paragliders, you'd realize just how close it was with those winds." She knew he recognized that she was hurt, and he was making excuses for Belicia. He was right, too. If she had a husband and that man had gone on a suicide mission, she would be looking for him first. Still, that didn't take away the hurt. All those weeks of thinking Belicia was dead. Instead, she was falling in love and getting married, without her. It embarrassed her that Gino saw her at her absolute worst all the time. "I'm really tired," she said. "Can you take me inside?" "Sure, baby." Of course he would. She didn't look at him. She couldn't. There was no tearing her gaze away from Belicia, and the tears streaming down her face as she looked her husband over so carefully. Belicia had to have known that if Zara was left with Cheng for 3 days before the rescue, she would be tortured. But instead of even checking on her... "Zara." Gino's voice was low. She was in his arms, her face in his neck. "Don't. You're understandably upset. But Belicia couldn't possibly have known what Zhu did to you. When we're on an unsanctioned mission, we can't report home. As much as Zeke would have wanted to tell her, he couldn't." She'd said it out loud where Gino could hear her. What was wrong with her? Now he really knew what a mean, petty person she was. She should be happy for Belicia, not feeling alone, miserable, and betrayed. "I always show you my worst side." It came out a whisper. She kept her eyes closed as he entered the house and moved through rooms. She knew there were other people around, but she didn't want them to see her puffy face and black eyes. For some reason, she felt embarrassed and guilty, as if she could have somehow prevented Zhu from beating her. "It's not like what happened to me was that bad." "Zara, stop talking right now. Keep your mind blank," Gino ordered. "Stop thinking until I can get you into the bedroom." It was a clear command, issued in his gruff, "obey me or else" voice. Zara tried to do what he said, pretending her mind was a slate, and every time she thought about Belicia ignoring her, or self-pity, or the fact that she was making such a fool of herself in front of Gino, she would wipe that slate clean. Unfortunately, she couldn't stop the tears. Those flooded his neck and soaked his T-shirt. He kicked a door closed. The thump of his boot on the wood was loud as well as the slamming of the door. He took her to a bed and gently laid her onto her back. She attempted to roll onto her side, away from him, but he had anticipated her movement and stopped her with a hand to her belly. Gentle, always so gentle. He looked scary and tough, but when he touched her, it was almost with reverence. That brought another fresh flood of tears. "Zhu tortured you, Sarah. He beat you unmercifully with his fists. He caned you. He used a whip on you. The man knows anatomy very well because he inflicted the most pain on you he could without permanently damaging you. He's well versed in torture, and although he was careful not to do permanent damage, he certainly went for maximum pain." "You can't know that." "Of course I know that. Aside from the fact that I'm a doctor and I can see what he's done, and of course I know anatomy, I certainly can beat someone with my fists, cane them, and whip them. I'm just as well versed in the art of torture as he is, maybe more. I've been dealing with that sort of thing since my family was slaughtered." Her heart jerked hard. She opened her eyes and looked at his face. God, that face! If a woman could fall for a face, she had. Those unusual, intense eyes, the scruff on his jaw, the hard angles and planes, the scars, his mouth. Slaughter? His family had been slaughtered? She had been wallowing in her own misery, counting on him, forcing him to stay with her because of her cowardice. But she hadn't asked him about his past. Does that scare you? She frowned, uncomprehending. That I learned to torture people. That I'm capable of torturing someone. That I have. He refused to look away from her, his gaze holding hers. She could see he was waiting again for condemnation. He had before, when he'd tried to put her off with scare tactics. To be able to have even a slight chance of combating Zhu, Gino had to know what Zhu was capable of, what he would do to her, to anyone in his path. Gino had to be a fierce, ice-cold demon, everything that Zhu was and more. The more was his protective nature. She shook her head. It's a little at odds with being a doctor, but I imagine you went to school sometime after you learned your other, skills? No, Gino, you don't scare me. I just am sorry that you lost your family. We're a pair, aren't we? I have no family, and you lost yours. He swept his hand over the tears on her face. Princess, those tears had better not be for me. Looking at you, I believe I have what I want right in front of me. Her heart clenched hard, and her stomach did a slow somersault. She didn't know if she was willing him to want to be with her, to overlook her cowardice and every shortcoming that was right there in his face, or if she was being selfish because she was so afraid without him. I think I'm just tired, Gino, and the pain is getting worse. I don't think the pills last nearly as long as when you gave me IV painkillers. Am I being wimpy? Why couldn't she just ask him straight out? But she couldn't, not until she had something to offer him. Right now, she didn't have much, not even her own clothes. All she had was terror, neediness, and tears. All right, baby, just close your eyes. I'll darken the room and give you some more meds. Just the beating he gave you, bruising your internal organs, would cause pain. Add the whip and cane, and of course you hurt like hell. There's no need. He was already setting up an IV. Zara closed her eyes with some relief. Her eyes burned from tears and from the light, from keeping them open, all of it. She hated that she looked so awful and that Gino had to see her that way. It's been nearly a week. 5 days isn't a lot to heal your body inside, Zara, he said. Just go to sleep. The more sleep you get, the quicker you'll heal. You have the white knight syndrome in spades, she murmured. Don't kid yourself, baby. There's nothing white knight about me. There was a knock on the door, and she panicked. She could feel her heart accelerate and her lungs burn for air. She couldn't face anyone right now, especially Belicia, and she knew it was her. I can't. I'll handle it, Gino said. Just rest. He already had the lights out and the curtains pulled while she lay in bed, drifting on the pain medication with her eyes closed like the coward she was. Gino swept his hand down Zara's hair, feeling anything but the white knight she named him. He felt proprietorial. No way was Belicia coming in and taking Zara from him. No one was going to do that. He'd staked his claim on her, and he wasn't backing off. He crossed the room to the door when the knock came again. Ezekiel stood right behind Belicia, one hand on her shoulder, his face a mask. Gino could tell by his eyes that he knew exactly what Gino was up to, but it didn't matter. She's resting right now. I've just gotten her comfortable and she's almost out, Gino said, blocking the door. I'll let you know when she's up for visitors. I need to see her now, Gino. Belicia insisted. I won't disturb her, but Zeke told me Zhu tortured her. I have to know she's all right. Physically, she will heal, although I'm concerned about her feet. Gino stayed in the doorway, blocking access to the room. Of course, the feet are bruised, but she has hematomas, bleeding in the spaces inside. There appears to be tendon damage, but I can't tell how severe or how permanent it is. I'll know more when I can take more X-rays, do an MRI and a few other tests, just to get a good look. Right now, I'm not letting her put any weight on her feet. Zeke said he used a cane on her. Gino nodded. On her back, buttocks, the backs of her legs, and also on her feet. He did a very thorough job of it, so very painful. He managed to sound impersonal when he no longer felt that way. On her front, he used a whip, and he was thorough about that as well. So she's having trouble moving around too much. The beating was very severe, and he did that before the other. He also used chemicals on her, and that was before the physical torture. He raised his gaze to Ezekiel's. She told me that on the plane. I didn't have a chance to give you that information. She didn't tell him a thing about the Ghostwalker program. He didn't suspect her of being a Ghostwalker.
Why would they keep her alive, then?
Belicia asked. For the first time, Gino had to struggle to keep his features impassive. Belicia had all but implied that Zara had given in to Zhu and told him what he wanted to know. He knew Zara was awake, or at least drifting in and out. She was already hurt, and he didn't want her to think Belicia didn't trust her. When he continued to stare at her, Belicia opened her mouth and shook her head, reaching back for Ezekiel's hand.
"That came out wrong, Gino. I know Zara. She would never give up information, not under any circumstance. She would find a way to suicide before she'd do that. I meant, Chang had to have had a reason. He never does anything without a reason. Did he plan to sell her?"
That first night in the embassy, when Gino had slept in a chair beside her bed, she'd woken in terror several times. She'd told him Chang wanted to sell her to a man named Moffat, who ran a human trafficking ring and owned some club he used his victims in. She'd admitted she didn't know which was worse, having Zhu keep her or being sold into trafficking. "Chang apparently wanted to sell her," Gino said, "but it was Zhu insisting on keeping her. He believed her almost from the beginning, but he wanted to keep her, for himself." Gino disliked saying it aloud. He was too much like the man, mirroring his words, his dark, ugly character. Gino wanted to keep Zara for himself, and he planned to do so. He was good at carrying out a battle plan. The more he was in her company, the more he was certain Zara Hightower was the woman for him.
"My poor Zara," Belicia whispered. "What a terrible thing for her to have to go through. You said you were worried about her feet. Is she going to be able to walk on her own?"
Gino stepped toward her, forcing the couple to move back so he could step outside the room and close the door, just in case Zara hadn't yet succumbed to the drug. "She'll walk. I'm just afraid she'll always experience some pain when she does. Zhu was careful not to leave any permanent marks on her skin, but he didn't mind messing up her feet, probably so she couldn't run from him." Belicia frowned and looked back at Ezekiel.
"Do you remember I told you how fast she is? No one could keep up with her when she ran. I hope her feet aren't permanently damaged. Have you talked to her about it?"
Gino shrugged. "She's been pretty out of it. She's just getting to the point where she can go longer periods with lower doses of painkillers. The travel did her in. When she wakes up, I'll bring her out of the room so you can talk to her. She was very anxious to see you."
"She didn't know Zeke and I are married, did she?"
Belicia asked. Gino shook his head. "There wasn't much chance to talk about anything, Belicia. She was in bad shape when we got to her. All I cared about was getting her out of there and letting her body heal without pain. The first couple of days, she could barely stand a sheet on her body, and even lying down hurt her. I kept her out of it for long periods of time to give her a break. There isn't really a comfortable position for her. She's doing better, though."
"Ezekiel and I can look after her now, Gino," Belicia said. "It must be difficult to take her to the bathroom, and she'll be needing showers and baths soon. I can do that, and Zeke can see to her medical needs."
Gino stared down at her for a long time, letting her see the devil in him. Very slowly, He shook his head. Not happening, Belicia. I'm taking care of her. She's my responsibility now. Belicia scowled. Ezekiel tightened his fingers around her hand, but Gino could see she wasn't going to take the warning. She's my sister. My responsibility.
Yeah, I could see that when we pulled up and she sat in the car, waiting while you were all over your husband.
Zara's mine. She wants to be with me, in my care, and I'm not going to relinquish that just because someone says so, or I have something better to do.
Color crept into Belicia's face.
I can't believe you just said that. I had to make certain Zeke was all right.
I got that. So did she. She wasn't all right, though. She had been tortured, unlike Zeke.
Gino.
Ezekiel's warning was just that one word, his name. Gino didn't give a damn. She's mine, Zeke. No one's taking her from me.
Belicia tossed her hair, eyes flashing. She isn't a doll, Gino. She's a living, breathing woman with feelings, and she's fragile, vulnerable, especially now. You're not taking advantage of her.
He gave her his most chilling smile. White teeth, no humor, eyes dead. She had recognized the demon in him when they'd first met. He saw the knowledge in her eyes, but she never said anything to him and was unfailingly polite, but she avoided him if she could. Now he gave a reminder. He let Zeke see him, although seeing the cold, dark side of Gino wouldn't be news to him. They'd known each other too long. It was just that Gino had never chosen to set that demon in him loose on his fellow ghostwalkers, but then he'd never had anything of his own worth fighting for. Ezekiel got it immediately and put a warning hand on Belicia.
Baby, let Zara sleep. When she wakes up, you can ask her where she'd like to be and who she wants looking after her. Gino is an excellent surgeon, and he's been taking care of her from the moment we broke into Cheng's lair.
Belicia stood looking up at Gino for a long time.
She's not like me, Gino. She's sweet and kind and good.
I'm very aware of what she's like, Gino said, his voice gentling, when he didn't feel gentle.
Belicia was going to fight him, and she was Zara's best friend.
Belicia nodded and turned away, allowing Ezekiel to sweep his arm around her. In Gino's assessment, Belicia was all the things she had said Zara was, just in a different way. She made Ezekiel happy, and that alone made Gino like her. But she saw into him, and she didn't like what she saw. He didn't blame her, because he could have been Bolanjou.
Gino slipped back into the bedroom and firmly closed the door. They didn't need any more visitors.
You awake? Her breathing told him she was.
Thank you, Gino. I put you in a bad position, and I'm sorry.
No problem, Princess. I'm never going to mind handling things for you. That's what I do. What I want to do.
She half turned over, the movement awkward, and he remembered she was in that long skirt and blouse that were most likely uncomfortable.
I'll get you into something you can sleep in, Zara. Because he was sleeping in the bed with her, and full nudity might just be a problem for them both.
Why don't you mind having to take care of me, Gino? It usually makes everyone angry, or at the very least annoyed.
She sounded a little lost, and his heart turned over. I like taking care of you. I'll always like taking care of you.
Her blue eyes kept looking at him, wide and sad. He shrugged and told her the truth.
It feels like a privilege to me.
You're a little crazy, you know that?
He nodded solemnly. Sadly, I'm well aware.
I didn't mean it in a bad way, only that you're so sweet to me, Gino. No one has ever been so good to me.
Baby, that isn't true. Belicia and your friend were always good to you, and they didn't mind taking care of you either. Belicia just told me that she would be happy to take over your care. I know you're hurt because she didn't go to you first, but when your man goes off on a suicide mission, or any mission, because there's a chance every time that he might not come back, you'll be running to him.
You're defending her, but it didn't sound like she was being very nice to you.
He shrugged. I don't mind.
Not when she's looking out for you. I'm telling you up front, so there's no misunderstanding, Zara. I'm not a nice man. Belicia sees that in me. She also sees I'm interested in more than taking care of you as a patient. She doesn't like it. I don't blame her, but it isn't going to stop me from pursuing a relationship with you. He took the IV from her arm and rubbed his thumb over the spot, watching her for a reaction to his declaration. I'm the one on painkillers, and you're the one not making any sense. I don't even look halfway decent right now. It isn't about your looks, Zara, although I've seen enough pictures to know you're beautiful. I just don't want there to be any misunderstanding between us. I want you with me. I'm determined to make that happen, in spite of knowing there will be a few obstacles, and Belicia's probably going to be one of them. Having said that, I'm not going to pretend to be someone I'm not. You're going to get the real man, so you'll know whether or not you can live with me. Are you trying to scare me off? He looked into her upturned face, and his heart did some crazy somersault in his chest. Her face was black and blue. There was even a little yellow, making her eyes and cheek very colorful. No, I just don't want you to think you want to be with me because I rescued you. That's a legitimate worry, she acknowledged. Or that you believe I can handle Zhu's threat to you, and once it's over you won't need me anymore. Like the gunslingers in the Old West. Come clean up the town. You did, thank you, so now leave, she agreed. He liked that she got it immediately. Even with the drugs in her system, her mind worked just fine. More than fine. What about the other way around, Gino? He raised an eyebrow and pushed back some of the thick reddish hair spilling around her face. He could spend a lifetime with his hands in her hair. I'm not always going to be beat up. No, you're not. And I'm always going to want to take care of you. I'm always going to be that man standing in front of you. Sometimes you might not like it, Zara. That's something you're going to have to decide if you can live with. Why me? I don't see how it's possible for a man as courageous as you to want to be with someone like me. I've never met a woman braver. You need a home and a family of your own. And if I'm not mistaken, you want to stay in that home and take care of your family. I need that in my woman. I want her to put me first, to put our children first. And, Princess, when I come home from a mission, I want you coming to me just the way Belicia did to Zeke. She didn't do a damn thing wrong. I know you were hurt, but you have to understand. She was right in going to her man and making him know he's everything to her. Zara pressed her lips together, a little frown on her face. I know you're right, Gino. Intellectually, I know you're right. But I had no idea she was with him. For me, she disappeared, and I worried she was dead. I was terrified when I was with Zhu, and frankly, I still am. I couldn't wait to see her, and it felt like I didn't matter in the least to her. That isn't true. If you could have seen Belicia's face when I told her what happened to you, you'd know you matter to her. Tomorrow, when you're feeling better, you can meet all the women here. You're going to love Nani. She's Wyatt's grandmother and has lived here in the swamp all of her life. She's an amazing woman. The house smells the way I think a home should, Zara said, welcoming. I agree. Nani knows her way around a shotgun, but she's the most welcoming woman I've ever met. At least she hadn't shot him down and told him there was no way she would have any kind of an actual relationship with him. He had been as honest with her and as upfront about his intentions as he possibly could be, and she wasn't yelling her head off for Belicia to come and save her. He supposed he should consider that a win, even if she hadn't thrown herself into his arms and declared undying love. Just so you're aware, Belicia and Zeke would gladly take over your care if you prefer them to me. I told you, but you didn't really address it. I need to know if you want them to handle the rest of your recovery. She slid back down in the bed. Even with her eyes black and blue, that slate blue staring up at him had his heart accelerating when facing men with guns didn't. I don't want them, Gino. I want you. She made it a very firm statement. "I'm taking your clothes off and inspecting every laceration before I put the tea on you. I'll have to reapply the antibiotic ointment. All this traveling easily could have reopened the worst of them." He wanted it clear. He was shifting into caretaker mode. "You've seen me without clothes often enough that I'm pretty certain you know every tiny laceration and bruise on my body by now." He caught the slight edge of embarrassment in her voice. "Sit up and let me get your clothes off. They can't be comfortable. And trust me, baby, I'm always happy to remove your clothes. Right now, I'm taking care of you. But later, I'm not going to be so impersonal. It's getting more difficult." She lifted her arms for him to remove the blouse. He looked because he'd be a fool not to. He wasn't a saint. And she had beautiful breasts. The stripes across them were definitely healing. He indicated for her to lie back so he could strip the skirt away as well. Her body was gorgeous. Those long legs, the curve of her hips, that tucked-in waist, the little curls almost as red as her hair in the sunshine. His body reacted, which was bullshit when he was a doctor and trying to be professional. He shouldn't be noticing all those details, but he couldn't help it. He already thought of her as his. "You're definitely healing. I don't like that a couple of these lacerations are being stubborn. By now they should be completely closed. But you've got a few that aren't, the ones that were infected. I should have stitched them. They were deeper than I first thought." He ran his finger along the line, just below the red slashes under her breasts. "You'd been through so much already, but I should have just done it." "I think you're being hard on yourself. They'll heal." "Might scar, Zara." She shrugged. "Maybe. It isn't like I expected to get out of there alive. A couple of scars won't hurt." He carefully applied antibiotic ointment to each long slash over the front of her body. He cursed Zhu under his breath with each application, not understanding how a man could do this to a woman. She tensed under his hands a few times. "Am I hurting you?" "It's all right. Just stings in a couple of places. I told you I couldn't take pain." She kept her eyes on his face, and he felt that impact. He found himself smiling. "What?" Because she was thinking something important. Color crept up her body. He actually felt the wave of heat. That made him more curious than ever. "Talk to me, baby. I want to know what's going on in your mind." Her fingers crept toward the sheet, as if she might draw it up. Clearly she was feeling vulnerable. "Turn over. I want to take a look at the bruising on your back." If she was lying face away from him, it might be easier for her to tell him. She obeyed him, easing her body over onto her stomach, lying gingerly, making certain to take care as she put her weight on the sheets. That was another reason he was certain she was right for him. She wanted to please him. She did what he asked, even if she was afraid, or in this case, if it hurt. She trusted his judgment. He knew part of that was because she'd had to trust him fast in extreme circumstances, but it was additionally because he came through for her every time. It was also instinctual. "Now tell me." His fingers skimmed the fierce bruising caused by the caning. Those bruises were in various shades of blue, black, and yellow. Most of the damage was done internally, the inside muscles bruised. "I wanted you to kiss me." She whispered her confession, and he went still. Her head was turned toward him, one cheek against the sheet, one eye hidden. The other looked up at him through the long fan of lashes. She looked shy, embarrassed, but she'd had the courage to tell him the truth. He smiled at her. That smile began somewhere deep inside him because that was where she was getting to him. He started out thinking she was right for him, not that he'd fall for her, but that bravery of hers, when she thought herself a coward, was too much for a man like him to resist. Her brand of courage wasn't the kind everyone could see, but it was there, quiet and just as unswerving as his was. The fact that she would trust him with the truth when it was embarrassing to her shattered him. "Trust is a gift, Zara, and I won't forget that you give it to me every day we're together. I won't ever abuse it. That was one thing he could say with absolute certainty. He wanted a woman to accept him and the things he did, but that might mean she couldn't know what he was doing or where he was going when he went on a mission. He would be upfront about that. Zara would be the kind of woman who would understand. Thank you for giving me your trust and for telling me what you were thinking. Kissing you is hard to stop once I start, but you want kisses from me any time, Princess. You get them. I'll expect the same from you.
Her lips turned up in a faint smile
that had the strange effect on him of robbing every bit of air from his lungs. He turned his attention to examining the bruising on her body, but that wasn't any easier. She had a body that just spoke to his. You have a gorgeous ass. Did you know that? He rubbed gently over her buttocks, where those long, dark lines were. No, not really. No one's ever really looked at my, bum. Ass, baby. Perfect, beautiful ass. I'm glad you like it. He trailed his palm over the stripes on her upper thighs. Zhu had hit her precisely, laying the cane on almost every square inch of her back, buttocks, and legs, doubling up every other stroke. The same was true of the whip. Zhu definitely knew anatomy. Under any other circumstance, Gino might admire his handiwork. Zhu's skills were the kind a man like Ciro Spagnola needed, which was why Gino had them. Tell me what you like, Zara. Your favorite things to do. He tugged on her arm to indicate she could roll over again. He had to put a T-shirt on her before he examined her feet. I like being outdoors, she admitted, slowly sitting up as he went to his drawer to retrieve a clean shirt. We had a big barracks, but there were always guards. Every minute of our time was directed by Whitney's schedule until late evening, when I was allowed to go to school. Even though he had men watching me, I would go outside at night and just look at the stars. I wanted to see mountains and rivers, forests, waterfalls, everything. I haven't experienced those things yet. As an adult, he still had guards on me, and the rules were even stricter than when I was in school. He pulled the shirt over her head, noting she had more arm movement than before. The enhancements Whitney had given her aided her body in healing fast. How long did he give you before those capsules break open? Was there always a set limit he told you about ahead of time? She nodded. He went to the end of the bed, sat and picked up her ankles to examine her feet. Zhu had definitely done the most damage there, either deliberately hurting the tendons or uncaring that he did so. Gino was certain the damage he'd inflicted was deliberate. Depending on the job he'd given me and where it was, he would change the time. In this case, he gave me 4 weeks. We discussed the possibility of a lockdown because Belicia had gotten caught in one. I had given talks to 3 businesses before Shanghai, in 3 different cities in China. We should have about a week and a half before those capsules break open. Have you ever had one break open early? She shook her head. It did, supposedly, happen to one of the other girls. She was doing something for him and didn't make it back. They brought her body home, and she had died of the virus. He said the capsule broke open early, but Belicia didn't think so. What did Belicia think happened? They wouldn't let us see her. We tried to sneak into the morgue, but Whitney had posted guards. Belicia said if it was the virus, we would have been able to see her. Whitney had her cremated, so we never knew for certain. Gino could see her feet were beginning to heal, but they had a long way to go. He didn't want her to put any weight on them. He tested the reflexes and movement, all of which made her wince. Rest, anti-inflammatories, and then physical therapy were her best chance of recovery. You have to stay off your feet, Princess. That's important. I don't exactly feel like putting them on the ground, Gino. When I move them, they hurt very, very bad. That's a sign you shouldn't move them too much, he pointed out. I'm not taking chances with the capsules breaking open. I'll be taking them out as soon as I finish my reports. I'll get Wyatt to assist me. She nodded, but he noticed she avoided his eyes. There was something she wasn't telling him, something she wanted to tell him, but she had to do it in her own time. He had a suspicion it had to do with why Whitney had lied to Major General and said they could keep Zara if they rescued her. Then there was the matter of the soldier pointing a gun at a specific spot in her brain. Gino pulled off his boots and climbed onto the bed with her. "I'm going to put you on my lap, Zara." He waited, but she didn't protest. So he picked her up and settled her on him. He wanted her to get used to his arms, the feeling of his body against hers, and how it reacted when she was near him. She put her arms around his neck and looked up at him. Her eyes were that strange slate color, and looking into them, he felt as if he had fallen under a spell. He wasn't a man given to flights of fantasy, so it was a little strange for him. He wrapped his hand around her throat, so her heart was beating into his palm, and he tipped up her face to him. There was that trust again. Shy hunger. Desire. He liked that a fuck of a lot. He leaned his head to hers and took her mouth. She might not have a lot of experience kissing, but the combination of the two of them was so potent, it was as if she lit a match to dynamite. Flame spread through him like a wildfire out of control. He shifted her closer and took complete command of her mouth. She followed his every move. The slide of her tongue sent heat rushing through his veins to pool low and mean in his cock. He used his thumb to tip her head back farther, giving him greater access. Fire poured through him, erupted in his belly, and flowed through his veins. It didn't take long to know he had to pull back when that was the last thing he wanted to do. It took discipline to lift his mouth from hers. He rested his forehead against hers and stared into those eyes of hers. "I want to keep kissing you, baby, but it's best if we stop now before there's no stopping. Your body isn't ready for anything but rest right now. I'm putting you in bed, and I'm going to take a long shower." "Does that really work?" There was genuine curiosity in her voice. "No. I had to take a couple of showers at the embassy. And when it comes to you, no. They don't work. But it might help before I go face everyone."
"You aren't coming back here?"
There was the smallest note of alarm in her voice, some panic in her eyes. He smiled at her. "I'll be here with you tonight. Just have to finish those reports, grab food, and I'll be in for the night. I promise." She studied his face for a long time before she nodded and relaxed in his arms. Chapter 9
"Your poor feet,"
Nani whispered, crouching down to examine them. Grace Fontenot was in her 80s, very slender now, so that she looked small and appeared fragile with her thick, silver-white hair, braided and looped in a bun at the back of her head. Her skin was thin and pale. The blue of her eyes faded. The color might have faded a bit, but her eyes were sharp and took in everything, including the multitude of gauze strips beneath the thin blouse Zara wore. Zara didn't want to be rude and pull her feet under her skirt, but everyone was staring, and she was embarrassed. She looked around for Gino. The room held women, no men. Belicia had hugged her too tightly before she got control of herself, and the wounds were throbbing all over again in spite of the painkillers Gino had given her earlier. Now, Belicia curled up in the chair beside Zara with tears in her eyes. She kept petting Zara because, like everyone else, she didn't know what to do. Zara couldn't stop looking at her best friend, drinking her in. She hadn't thought she'd ever see her again, but there were too many people around, and she couldn't talk to her alone. The things she needed to say, to know, were locked up tight, and she could only sign to Belicia, using the code they'd perfected after they became aware there were cameras on them at all times, to tell her that she needed to talk. Thankfully, Belicia signed back she'd find a way to be alone with her. Ezekiel had given her two more pain pills after Belicia had hugged her, and she was beginning to feel the effects. Right now she was beginning to feel very off balance. As always when that happened, she looked for Gino. Wyatt's grandmother took charge. "Back up and give a room," Nani ordered. The three women, Pepper, Belicia, and Cayenne, automatically obeyed. It was clear they respected the older woman, and her word was law in her home. Zara took her first real breath since Gino had left her with the women, dragging the scents of the Fontenot home into her lungs. It was comforting in a weird way. Spices, delicious smells drifting from the kitchen. Freshly baked bread. Chicken. The chicken smelled like heaven. This was the way a house was supposed to smell. Inviting. Homey. Not like a barracks and rations. Some day she was going to have a home like this one and fill it with similar scents so anyone coming in would feel instantly welcome. "It smells wonderful in here," she blurted. Nonny looked pleased. "I always have something on the stove to welcome the boys after they've been out working so much. My boys were always hungry when they were growing up. The ones I have now don't seem to be filled night or day." Pepper and Belicia laughed. Cayenne nodded her head, her lips curving, but she didn't make a sound. Zara understood. It was difficult to laugh when, for so many years, she hadn't had anything to laugh about. Zara had tried to be normal with her friends, with Belicia and Shyla, but she hadn't been happy at the compound or out in the real world. There didn't seem a place for her. She could tell Cayenne felt a little of that. Zara wondered what, when Cayenne had total freedom now, kept the woman in a place where she was uncomfortable. Maybe for women like them, there was no place to call home. She studied Cayenne while Nani examined her feet. A part of her saw Belicia and Pepper looking at her feet with a kind of horror. Both got tears in their eyes. Cayenne's face gave nothing away. Zara's heart began a slow acceleration. The room tilted a little, and her stomach lurched. Somewhere there was the sound of dripping water, and she remembered the water in the bathroom where Zhu had tortured her. The steady drip she hadn't acknowledged until right at that moment. She hadn't noticed it then, probably because she had other things to worry about. But now she knew she would always connect dripping water with the lash of the whip and the whistle of the cane. Her body jerked. She felt the strike on her body. A low whimper emerged, and she hastily pressed her fingers to her mouth. Uneasily, she glanced at the windows. It was mid-afternoon. Gino had let her sleep in and then brought her breakfast in bed. He'd had her nap again before getting her dressed to meet the other members of the household. Zara knew with all the windows, anyone could see into the house. Anyone. Whitney could get the information she stored in her brain from her, dead or alive. He didn't need her alive, just her body. He would keep coming at her until he got what he wanted, and anyone near her would be in terrible danger. What of Zhu? He would be coming as well. Gino and the others might think they were finished with him, but they weren't. She saw his face and heard his promise. He would come after her and would take pleasure in killing those around her. Whitney might kill them, but there would be no pleasure in it. He would consider them sacrifices for the greater good. Zhu would enjoy the killing, making her and everyone suffer in the process. That would be his enjoyment. Her body gave a shudder she couldn't hide, and she looked around. Needing him. Gino. Her shield. It was wrong to force the man into that role. He had rescued her, taken care of her, watched over her, and he'd delivered her to Belicia and was gone. She knew he was probably sick of her clinging to him, sick of having to hear her whine. How much whining had she done? She didn't even remember. She was getting a little confused because of the additional pain pills Ezekiel had given her. She had to let Gino go. He was probably hiding out, so relieved to be away from her when she looked everywhere for him and listened with everything in her for the sound of his voice. What was she thinking? Gino had kissed her. He'd declared his intentions, made it very clear that he intended to pursue her, that he wanted them to be in a relationship. He wasn't the type of man to lie to her. Doubling up on pain medication when Gino wanted her to back off from it a bit clearly was affecting her thinking process. He'd kissed her. He wanted her. She wasn't going to let go of that. "Zara, would you like a cup of tea before you eat anything? Tea can settle the stomach." Nani asked her the question gently, but Zara had the feeling it was to give the other women something to do besides cry over her. God knew, if they saw the lacerations and bruises on her body, they would really fall apart. She couldn't handle that. She felt like she was well on her way to healing, with the exception of her feet, but she knew her body looked as if she'd been through a battle. She nodded gratefully. She wanted a cup of tea and then a room that was quiet, and mostly she wanted Gino. She felt scared without him. She couldn't help looking through the windows again, wondering if a sniper was taking aim at her head right that minute. She should have told him the truth about what she'd been doing there in Shanghai. She had to tell him soon. But if she did, he would have to share the information with whoever ran his team. That person would share with the Major General, and then they'd come for her. There was no way they would leave the intelligence in her head. "We'll fix you right up, child," Nani continued. Her thumb very gently brushed over Zara's swollen face. "It's so much better already," she assured the horrified women. She barely glanced at them. She didn't care how she looked, although always, when she was in public, her looks were her armor. Now she needed Gino, her shield. "Gino really helped me. I couldn't open my eyes before." Pepper, Wyatt's wife, returned with several supplies, sent her a small smile, and left again. She was the sexiest woman Zara had ever seen. Her skin was perfect, her eyes exotic. The color was difficult to describe, one moment almost lavender or deep purple, but there was a strange diamond color that looked like a starburst that spread through that dark purple. She had a natural pout to her full lips and thick, dark hair that had strange patterns in it that seemed to come and go with every movement of her head, making the silky mass mesmerizing. Zara could hardly look away. Gino was around Pepper every single day. He saw that sexy woman, small, exotic, so sensual she could steal the breath from a man or woman. What he'd seen from Zara was blood and vomit and eyes swollen shut. And don't forget the bathroom. Repeatedly. Lovely. How could he possibly want her after seeing Pepper? Cayenne was very small, like Pepper, with dark hair so black that it gleamed blue under the light. When she moved, a rich red hourglass came and went in the long fall. She had an oval face and high cheekbones. Her eyes were a deep green, framed with long black lashes. Her mouth was generous. She didn't say anything, but her eyes were watchful. And Zara had the feeling that if she made one wrong move, Cayenne would pounce and end her life instantly. Ordinarily, Cayenne would have intimidated Zara. Nearly everyone did, unless she was lecturing. Right now, she was so miserable, she didn't care how watchful and alert Cayenne was. It didn't matter in the least to her. She wanted Gino. She didn't even care that Cayenne, Belicia, and Pepper were beautiful petite women, warrior women, and she was not. She needed him, and she willed him to come to her. But once he'd turned her over to the women, he'd walked out without looking back. She knew he hadn't looked back because she'd watched him walk away from her. She'd watched his back until he was out of sight. It wasn't like she could blame him. No matter what he felt for her, he had to take a break sometime. She hadn't trusted him enough to tell him the truth about the information stored in her head. She took a deep breath and let it out, afraid she might cry in front of the very sympathetic strangers and Belicia. Was she still upset with Belicia? Gino had insisted she shouldn't be. As it was, her skin felt clammy, cold. She could barely catch her breath. She really needed air because she was getting dizzy, and there was a strange ringing in her ears. How long had she been out of the safety of the bedroom? How long away from Gino? Minutes? A half hour? An hour? It felt like an eternity. "Zara?" Belicia's voice was gentle but very firm, catching her attention. "What is it? You're having a panic attack. Where's Gino? Where did he go? I'll get him for you." Shockingly, that was Cayenne. One moment she'd been leaning her hip against the wall, draped there so casually and still. The next second she was all movement, slipping from the room before Zara could protest. It was one thing to ask where he was, another altogether to have them go get him. She realized these women were going to get her whatever she indicated she wanted. "How much time did Whitney give you before the capsule breaks?" Belicia asked. Zara bit down on her finger to keep from screaming. She needed air. She needed a way out. Why did she always feel like she was less than everyone around her? She didn't belong anywhere.